Welcome to the Mother Freaking Real Life Podcast. This is your host, Haley Hingst. The goal of this podcast is simple. Every week, a guest and I sit down and talk together about Mother Freaking Real Life while you listen. As you're tuning in, if you're thinking to yourself, thank God I'm not the only one, we will have succeeded in our mission because Mother Freaking Real Life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the tragic and the mundane, the simple and the complex, it happens to all of us. You are definitely not alone. Grab a cup of something hot or a cup of something alcohol and come take a listen. Welcome to the very first ever episode of the Mother Freaking Real Life Podcast. Today in the studio, I have what I consider to be a very special guest. My guest today is none other than Mary McGee.
Hello.
Say hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
If you are a friend of mine, you've heard much talk of Mary over the years. I feel like you are at least famous amongst my friend circle, maybe in other circles.
I think it,
as well.
It dies there.
It might die there. It's possible, but that's something. Mary is my, we had a little debate over this. I told her I was going to introduce her as my kill. She feels like it should maybe be Sill.
I mean, the English language is complicated. I don't know. I don't know if it's a hard C or a soft C.
We don't know, but she's...
But Kill seems more straight, so we'll go with Kill.
Kill, which is my cousin-in-law. She is... my husband's cousin, first cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You guys kind of grew up more like brother and sister,
we did.
Right? And cousins.
Yep.
Because he was an only child, and so y'all were the closest things. Uh-huh. You and your brother were the closest things to siblings that he had.
Yep. Yeah, we were together a lot, and my mom watched him while his mom worked, and caused a lot of trouble together.
Okay. Well, I have known you since I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a little disclaimer. Actually, Mary and I did this podcast episode last night. We kind of fumbled a few things up, and we also felt like just that our conversation was maybe kind of too heavy for a first podcast. Is that kind of what we landed on?
I think so, yeah.
Felt a little heavy. We both felt a little drained today. So this is not our first time to sit down and talk, but we're kind of acting as though it is.
Yeah.
So we discussed this last night, but we'll pretend like we are just now discussing this.
Okay.
I've known you since I was 16, mm-hmm. but I mentioned last night that I was kind of unsure of how I felt about you for mm-hmm. the first 4 years.
That's understandable.
But then I went on to elaborate and say that I actually always liked you. It was more that I was uncertain of if you liked me.
Yeah, and that was
made you feel
that was also
intense around you.
Yeah, it was uncertain. I wasn't sure I liked you. Mm-hmm. You were a threat to our little family makeup,
right.
our dynamic.
I am very threatening. That's what I'm very often told is how threatening I am.
Are you really?
No, I'm just kidding.
The opposite. No, because I was the only girl, and there was only three of us, just my brother and my cousin and I. And so suddenly Mason's bringing you to all the family stuff, and we're like, what's happening? I don't think we invited her. And so, it felt like a little territorial situation.
I picked up on that.
Yeah.
I picked up on that vibe.
I'm not real subtle. I've never really been called subtle, so
nope.
I get that.
Nope. You're about as subtle as I am threatening, I would say. But we did eventually come to life.
We did. And love each other.
Even love each other.
Yep.
So I had thought about last night, and then I forgot. And then I was going to do it tonight, but I had thought about us having a glass of champagne in honor of my first episode. Last night, I forgot. Tonight, I remembered, but then I remembered that that would probably put you out of ketosis.
Yeah.
Because of your keto diet.
It would.
Right?
Yeah.
So then I thought, I'll bring her like some grape juice instead, but that would
totally.
That's even worse.
Yeah, side note, when we have communion mm-hmm. at church, I have I basically just get my upper lip a tiny bit wet.
So you're that.
I'm not, I don't.
Well, I have a friend that is gluten-free, mm-hmm. and she gets very nervous about the, wafer.
Well, our wafers are gluten-free.
I think ours is that option.
Okay.
But I sat behind, and talking about you, Nikki, if you're listening, but I sat behind my friend Nikki and her husband at church one time, and I think maybe you had just kind of started being gluten-free,
mm-hmm.
and I guess she knew that there was the option for the gluten-free wafer. So, during communion, she tries to go find.
Oh, gosh.
And it's and her husband was just kind of
the ship had sailed.
the ship had sailed.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is our first episode ever, and kind of the idea behind the podcast is that each week I'm going to sit down with people in my life, so my family members will be on here, which that makes me laugh for a second thinking about, remember the book club that we started several years ago, and all it ever could gather was our family members.
We had a few other people.
We did, but we
shout
always
shout out to Taylor Nichols,
like it was
Michelle Hunt.
That's true.
Donna Looper.
Okay.
I've been all your crew.
Okay, you're right. Well, with the podcast, the goal is to sit down each week with people in my
life, friends or family, who have kind of, which I guess this is everyone, but have just experienced life in its just most real and raw form and have something valuable to share with you as a result. And so sometimes these episodes will be funny and sometimes they'll be sad, kind of everything in between. And so originally when I thought of you as my first guest, it was because I thought, well, Mary has stuff to speak on in all of those areas. Like, you've had a lot of tragic things recently, yeah, and sad and heavy, but you are notoriously fun. Mm. Your life is kind of fun. So I thought, well, I'll just have her and we will just kind of, for the first episode, not focus on any one thing, but just kind of like, okay, do it all.
Awesome.
Well, that's what I thought. But then, okay, we sat down yesterday and it just was a little bit of an odd mixing because we talked about really, really, really heavy, yeah, things.
Yeah.
But then we kind of tried to bounce out of that and talk about fun things, which, yeah, we succeeded at, but it was almost like we needed 3 hours worth of talking, yeah, to be able to really unpack all the things that you were saying.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it a little bit different today, okay, and we'll get to that in a minute. But before we get to that, we want everyone to be able to get to know you, okay, a little bit, and they'll get to know you really well as the hour goes on.
Okay.
Just off the bat, can you tell our listeners just three, maybe kind of random things about yourself, cool, or whatever, just, okay, three things that you think would give people a good picture of who you are?
Okay. I'm a control freak.
Okay.
I really love order. And just really appreciate a good system.
We're going to talk about that today.
Oh, you are?
We are?
Oh, that's nice. Uh-huh. I have a major phobia of sticky things. Like, yeah, like major.
That, yeah.
And so my kids don't ever eat syrup. There's no syrup in our house unless, okay, it's in a recipe. Like, I have maple syrup if it's in a cookie recipe or whatever. But we do powdered sugar or cinnamon sugar on waffles or pancakes.
And your kids have grown to kind of just be fine with,
yeah,
their years.
Yeah, they're totally, no, it's not a complaint. But when they do go out with like their grandmother, mm-hmm, they have syrup. And then I can smell it on them and I just get really nervous. It's in their hair.
Yeah. That's, I can see how it's stressful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you never have the problem that we have at my house. And I actually do clean my house.
Yeah.
I feel like I actually meticulously clean my table, mm-hmm, a lot of times a day. Because I don't like to be able to visibly see,
yeah,
things. But even with that, oftentimes we sit down and there's like stickiness,
yes,
on the table, and it's from syrup because that eat waffles every
would
single morning.
Send me over the
so
edge.
You don't ever have that problem.
Never.
Okay.
I never. In fact, I had your kids over, maybe it was Thanksgiving when I had them over, and I made waffles or something and they were asking for syrup. And I was like, yeah, oh, yeah.
Wrong house.
Yeah.
And they just looked at you with shock and horror.
Well, you know, I think because my kids outnumber them, they sort of just grow along with the,
right,
the masses.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Three things.
Okay. Three things.
Control freak, sticky, phobia.
Let's see what else. I love to research things.
Okay.
So whatever I'm into at the moment, I'm like all out researching, whether it's the Enneagram, whether it's keto, whether it's my thyroid condition, whatever it is, I'm like all in researching and, mm-hmm, and then I feel like I'm an expert in that area.
So did that make you, were you like a really amazing student?
No, I wasn't. No. I wasn't. I could have been. I just didn't care.
Yeah.
So I
it has
just
to be
sort
a topic
of,
that you care about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and actually, so I changed my major 5 times.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the 5th time was because I took a sociology class and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And then I changed my major to sociology and I did great in sociology.
Okay. And that is what your major was?
Yeah.
Graduated with? Is a degree in sociology?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stupid. What do you do with that?
I don't know. Probably the same thing you do with a communications degree.
Yeah, exactly. Although you've got
you
a podcast now.
I do. So I'm putting my degree
you're going
to
somewhere.
As we speak.
You are going somewhere.
That's right. Okay. We're going to move into a little segment that I'm, my goal is to have this with every guest I ever have. I think it'll work out.
Okay.
The segment is called Here's Something I've Never Told You Before.
Okay.
It's a confession, if you will.
Okay.
And ideally, this confession will be something that actually has to do with, it's not just like a random confession. It's okay. Something that has to do
toward
with,
that person.
Towards that person.
Okay.
Yes. So my confession to you, something I've never told you before, is that you just kind of said that you're a germaphobe. Mm-hmm. So you have a sticky phobia,
yeah,
but really you're germaphobe. Kind of a germaphobe in general, right?
Yep.
Well, I am not that. Mm-hmm. And lots
like
of times, Mary has 7 children. I don't think you didn't mention that in the get to know you.
Oh, yeah.
But she does have 7 kids, ranging in age from 15 to
2.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, or I would just maybe say sometimes when your kids are at my house, I have either not required that they wash their hands prior to eating, and or they've kind of had like community drink situations
that
where they've shared a cup shared a cup with my kids, possibly.
So gross.
That's happened maybe more often than it hasn't happened.
That's why they're always sick when they come home
from
your house.
That's not true.
Yeah.
That is not a true statement.
Every time they come home, they come down with something.
With what?
And I'm like, there's Aunt Haley's nasty old house again. Nasty rules
my
or lack of.
Syrupy table.
Well, you know, now I know how to go forward. When they go to your house, we're going to have some talks. I'm going to pack some soap.
Okay.
You just utilize it very much.
Good to know. You might should just send them in some kind of like
bubble wrap.
Like a bubble. Yeah.
Like the bubble boy.
Yes. That's what I was picturing.
I love
it. Bubble boy. Yes.
I've actually thought about that before.
Seven bubble boys.
Yeah. That's going to take some time.
Okay.
What's my confession is that I was convinced when we were younger, and actually kind of judgy about it, that you dyed your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was convinced. And my friend Joe, shout out to Joe, she might have given me that idea. I'm not sure. Maybe I gave it to her, but we would like talk about it. Like, she totally dyes her hair. What kind of red is that? That's not a normal red. And then I had my second child and she has your hair color.
Mm-hmm.
So joke's on me.
So then you're eating your words.
Yeah. But it's a lovely color.
Yeah. I like it.
It's
like
great.
My hair color.
It's awesome.
There's a lot of things I complain about myself, but I like my hair color.
Yeah.
But so A, I didn't dye my hair.
Yeah.
But B, you said kind of judged.
Yeah.
Why would that have been so bad had I dyed my hair?
I don't know. It was the early 90s. No, actually, I think it was the 80s. No, you're right. It was the 90s. You're right. Yeah, I don't know. Girls weren't like dyeing their hair unless they were
adults,
like goth or something.
Right. I don't know.
My friends didn't.
I wouldn't know because I've never dyed my hair, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think you either were like hiding gray or you were like a punk.
Okay.
So maybe I thought you were a punk.
I probably was a little bit.
Nah.
Okay. Well, this is what we're going to do today. Because like I mentioned, we sat down and we kind of did this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And you have had, and I would actually like to have you come back again, maybe multiple times to do more episodes. Because you have had the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not been all roses.
Nope.
Right? But I feel like your life has depicted kind of what I think this podcast is going to depict, which is just real life. So it's not like your life has been totally bad. You've got lots of amazing things. We mentioned you have 7 kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're all healthy.
Yep.
They're really awesome kids. Like, mm-hmm. I'm constantly bragging on your kids. They have good personalities.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, you can like sit down with any of Mary's kids and kind of just talk with them like they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
They're not annoying.
That's because I'm not a precious mom.
I'm not either. And that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not a precious mom.
No.
How do you feel about Band-Aids? Like, Band-Aids annoy me. I cannot stand them.
I rarely have them in stock.
Me either.
And I'm like, I don't know, maybe go look in the car if there's a first aid kit.
I'm annoyed if they ask for a Band-Aid.
I'm always like, hey, run it underwater. See what happens.
Precious moms have Band-Aids.
They do.
We don't do that.
No, they have a whole first aid station.
For sure.
And I'm like, I don't know, just go walk around the block.
Right. Okay. But my point is, you have 7 kids. They're awesome. They're healthy. You have a really amazing husband, Blake. Mm-hmm. You have a great marriage. You have a whole bunch of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting in your house as we speak.
Oh.
You have a super cute house.
Oh, thanks.
So you've got a lot of good stuff happening. But in the last 5 years, you have lost a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost your brother.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to losing your brother, you walked through an addiction, mm-hmm. his addiction, mm-hmm. for quite a few years. You've lost your father.
Yep.
2 weeks after losing your father, you lost your best friend.
Yeah, good friend.
Both to cancer.
Uh-huh.
And then there's just been some job transition stuff that has caused some stress.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not been like the best 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So last night we sat down and we kind of like went into depth into each of those things.
Yeah.
And I feel like each of those things could have been its own podcast.
Totally.
And so I actually want to have you back, maybe to talk about each of those things. I feel like one thing we could definitely delve into in a future episode is just kind of as you walked with Ryan, which is your brother, through his addiction and then eventually essentially through his death. A lot of people prayed for Ryan over mm-hmm. the years, similar to when your dad was diagnosed, mm-hmm. prayed for him, Camilla. Mm-hmm. And in each of those scenarios, it kind of would seem to us that God didn't answer the prayer. Mm-hmm. So I would like your insight at some point on how all of those things have kind of shaped your view on God. If mm-hmm. it changed how you feel about him, if it didn't change how you feel, how you kind of held firm to your faith during that. So we're going to be back for
okay.
that.
Okay.
But for today, this might seem very insensitive, but you know what I mean. I have a note written to myself that says, gloss over her tragedies. That's my note. So for today, we're not delving into
this. I love that.
We're glossing over them for the time being.
Yeah.
Because what we're going to focus more on today is this. As I look at you, and I'm not trying to just kind of like continue to just put you on this pedestal, mm-hmm. but you're a bit on a pedestal in my eyes. I feel like as I look at you over the last 5 years and all of these things that have happened, you have still kind of maintained, like life still runs pretty well for you. Like mm-hmm. you've done a good job still in parenting. Your someplace marriage is held strong. You run a household that I feel like runs very smoothly. Your faith in God has stayed very strong. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like one of the reasons for that is that you do a really good job of just having some set things in place mm-hmm. that when life gets crazy or life gets bad, these things still kind of remain in place. And mm-hmm. it seems to me that could be one reason why you have been able to kind of stay sane mm-hmm. and thrive
yeah.
over the last 5 years. So I wanted to touch on a few of those things, and I kind of have them categorized
okay.
into faith, parenting, marriage, household.
Okay.
This will be a little more fun than okay. last night, because I think when I talk to my friends about you all mm-hmm. the time, the things that we're always like, oh, we need to be more like Mary McGee.
Oh my gosh.
It is kind of these things. Like you have these things in place. You're a consistent person. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say that you're kind of yeah. a consistent person?
Yeah, I would probably say that.
You have things in place. In fact, mm-hmm. if I were going to title this episode, it would probably be something about the things that stayed in place because you just have a lot of things in place. So.
Hence my self-description as a control freak, but yes.
Yes. So maybe that makes sense. So starting with faith. Mm-hmm. Okay. During 5 years that we just talked about and just throughout your whole life, mm-hmm. it seems, or your adult life anyway, it seems that your walk with God, your relationship with Christ, your faith holds pretty steady. Mm-hmm. And tell me just a couple of things, maybe some truths about God that you feel like no matter what has just kind of gone to hell over mm-hmm. the years, here's what I consistently know to be true about God. Mm-hmm. And I've held firm to that.
I think he's trustworthy. As like trite as that sounds, like I now have a long track record with him of him showing up and him meeting me where I'm at and comforting me and instructing my heart. And so it's, you know, I think there's been so much purpose in this like sorrow and suffering and sadness because I have grown through it. I mean, that's not always the case. You know, I have a family member who has experienced some of these similar things, and this family member has not held on to the Lord in the way that I have and has believed lies about the Lord. And so I know it can look both ways. But to me, you know, when you have that perspective of like, he is good, he is faithful, like it changes how you live each day. It changes like how you view him, how you view others. And so I don't walk around with a chip on my shoulder. It's like, he is literally my lifeline. He's my anchor. And so, you know, I think especially the last loss with my dad, losing my dad, it was so sad and so heartbreaking and so fast. But not for a moment was I shaken in my faith. Like it was, I feel the only reason I was able to get through that is because of my relationship with the Lord and for him just continuing to meet me there in my sadness.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think for you specifically, because you're right with some people, that would be the thing that would make them kind of abandon their faith in God, or maybe not even abandon their faith, but decide like, oh, God's not good.
Yeah.
But you so believed that he is good that that became the thing that you clung to. Do you?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's like a gift. It could be just a spiritual gift of faith. It could be that people were praying specifically for me in that area, knowing that there had been so many hard things. I don't really know. I do have a simple faith in a lot of ways. My husband is more of a critical thinker and a deep thinker, and he's wrestled with lots of questions over the years. And we have one kid that's definitely more wired that way.
Is that who? Is that your oldest?
It's Grayson.
Okay.
And then we have one, Aiden, who's more like me, where it's just a simple faith. Like, we don't ask a ton of questions. Like, we just believe. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. I definitely feel grateful, though, because I do have that sense of, like it's not really, it's not me. It's the Lord working in me.
Right.
And despite me. So.
So the thing that you would say that has just held true for you about God is just that he is trustworthy.
Yeah.
That is an unshaken.
Yeah. Unshaken. I mean, when I lost Tate, that was our first loss, 2013, I was basically in my room for like a week and a half, just mourning, crying, couldn't really function, couldn't really take care of the kids, and had my playlist going of songs that just were meaningful to me in that moment. And it was almost like I physically felt God there. Like I knew he was there. I knew that he was with me, and I knew that he was mourning with me. And, you know, there were times before that too, that happened, but, he just continues to show up for me. And so there's no room in my heart to doubt him at this point.
Nothing, nothing can make you doubt him.
I mean, I can't say that, you know, definitely, but, you know, been through some crap.
Been through some crap.
And fast. Like, it's been fast. It's
like a series. Like, bam, bam, bam.
So I'm sure, I mean, you know, obviously, like, if one of my kids had cancer or was ill, or, you know, we had a teenager in our community die last week in a car wreck, I don't know. Maybe I would be shaken at that point. But I think at the end of the day, I would believe that God is still for me and he's there for me, and that there's good that's going to happen out of it.
So you mentioned a second ago, and I was actually going to ask you about this, about kind of your worship music sets. Like, you almost kind of have playlists. You were telling me yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like, this is a playlist that ministered to you during this specific time. And this is, so what all do you have playlists for? You have one that kind of walked you through losing Tate, your baby that you lost.
Yeah. Worship music has always been really important to me. I've been singing my whole life, and, I don't know. God just really ministers to me with songs. And it's funny because when I was a kid, I wasn't walking with God at all. And I listened to horrible music.
Like what? Give us a little taste.
Well, just like Tupac or whatever. Like, just, you know. I mean, I still love it, so don't like hear me like condemn that. I still love it. But as a young teenager, I probably shouldn't have been listening to that stuff. But I didn't hear the words. Like, I couldn't sing the lyrics correctly. My friends would make fun of me. I just never knew lyrics. I love the beat.
Right.
And so God has changed that a lot in the last decade, two decades, I don't know, because I hear all the words of all the worship songs.
Through the worship
songs. Yeah, mainly through the worship songs. Right. Like, he just comes alive in the worship songs. So, yeah, I have a playlist for Tate. I have a playlist for my dad. I have a playlist for my brother. Just songs that have meant a lot to me in that season of grieving.
Do you kind of re-pull these playlists out? Like, if it's a day where you're particularly grieving over Ryan, or something has reminded you of your dad, like, are these playlists that you kind of constantly pull back out?
For sure. And I'm not like, oh, I want to be sad, let me listen to these songs or whatever, but they're just reminders of who God says he is and who I am. And so, Bethel worship has been, really powerful for me. When I lost my brother, and almost lost my sixth son in childbirth. I think I actually had like PTSD after that.
Probably.
Because it was 8 days apart and it just was a lot of trauma. And so I listened to the Bethel album, You Make Me Brave, over and over and over and over and over again. And that's the album that has It As Well by Amanda Cook, which is still my go-to song when I'm sad about any of these losses, that, you know, it is well, he has me, he's going before me and making a way. And so,
your parents have, a thing hanging on the wall in their house, mm-hmm. that I think
shout
out to myself there,
yeah.
that says it is well with my soul.
Yeah,
and I know that's been a lot of comfort for your mom.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so music has played a huge part of, I was going to say my recovery, but it's not really recovery. It's just
kind of holding you steady in the midst of kind of these storms.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I jam out in my kitchen. I jam out in my car and my kids are like, I'm sure they're rolling their eyes. Like, oh, here she goes again.
What was your ringtone yesterday when you were over and I was kind of wrapping up, or maybe I had already wrapped up?
Mm-hmm.
Doing a podcast with Brian, but your phone rang.
It's Tupac, California.
Okay, yeah. Is that like when Blake calls, that's the song that plays?
No, that's my regular ring. When he calls, it's that song, Cute.
I know that one.
Oh my gosh. If I see him, he can call me on it. I can't even remember who it's by.
Is it like a country song?
No, it's a hip hop song.
Okay.
But it's like, yeah, I think you're cute. It's basically.
Did you want to sing it?
Well, I would, but I have a cold.
Okay. Maybe when Blake comes, you can do a duet.
I'm going to see if I can get it on my phone while we're talking.
Okay. You just keep talking loud now. Don't venture too far from the mic.
Okay.
Oh, look, he's here.
Okay.
He's going to play it. Okay. We're going to hear this song in a minute. This is perfect.
And it makes me smile every time he calls me because I do think he's cute.
Okay. I've never heard this song.
Oh, yes, I can't remember.
Has anybody, has anyone else ever heard this song?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's a song. It's okay.
Like a currently playing song.
Oh, my gosh. They're calling me again. Yeah, I think I actually heard him on a commercial, like an Apple commercial. It's by Dram.
Hmm,
so
okay.
Anybody that wants it for a ringtone,
there you go.
Cute by Dram.
Okay. Okay. Well, another thing that I feel has always, tragedy or not tragedy, just held steady in your home, something that you just excel at. You and Blake both, you guys excel at parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do. So like, you can just admit, you kind of.
No, I really don't feel that way.
You have to.
I really don't.
I know I don't.
Last week was a really hard parenting week, actually, and Monday.
I don't want to undermine. I'm not here. I'm not a fixture in your house on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I don't want to undermine. Maybe things go down that I don't mm-hmm. see. I'm mm-hmm. sure that they do. But I feel like a hard day. I mean, I'm around a lot of kids and a lot of moms and a lot of parents.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't wrap my mind around, like, a hard day for you seems like it still might be kind of a good day for some other people, myself included.
I mean, that could be true in some way. I feel like maybe we should record a day and then, like, you just play that for your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd be like, oh, crap.
Well, we did talk about having your kids as a panel.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
I think that could be fun.
That'd be really funny.
But as I was kind of thinking through and preparing for this, because mm-hmm. I put some thought and preparation into this, I started thinking through some reasons why parenting, why you guys might just do such a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be reasons, and you can chime in and tell me. But I know one thing for a fact that you guys do well when it comes to parenting is it seems like there's a system kind of
mm-hmm.
for everything. It's maybe necessary with a large family.
It is. I'd go crazy.
But there, you have a lot of systems,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Which I think is good. Like I kind of do that well and I kind of don't. I actually am good at creating systems.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I create systems a lot.
Yeah.
And they work well. I'm just not as good as you are at continuing to do them consistently.
Yeah.
But I know that when I was pregnant with Axel, my third, at my shower, everyone that had multiple kids kind of stood up. Or no. Yeah, I guess it was, I don't remember. But everyone that had multiple children stood up and kind of talked about, here's how we make life work with having more than one kid. And Krista, our mutual friend, Krista Fox, talked about systems. And she said, her phrase is like, for new moms, what's your system? She has a system for everything. So she talked about how even when it came to like getting out of their car in a parking lot, especially when the kids were younger, there was a system for, okay, you're going to unbuckle your sister. You're going to get out and wait right here. And then we all hold hands. Like, there's a system.
Totally.
And you're kind of like, that's it. So what are some systems? I know one of them, and if you don't mention it, I will, but I'm going to give you a chance to mention your own systems.
Well, when my kids were younger, my older three kids were younger. I had my first three like really fast. My first two were 13 months apart. And then the next one came 23 months later. So I had like three under three. And, so I think for survival, and I don't know if I've heard this somewhere or read it somewhere, I don't know, but what I would do is I would, they held onto a ribbon. So they each picked out a ribbon, and, Aiden, I think, was camo, Grayson was like pink or something. And, Greer was in the, stroller, and we attached those ribbons to either side of the, stroller, and they had to hold those when we were out in public.
See, that's brilliant. That's super simple.
Super simple. Brilliant.
And that's they were not trained. A system I knew about of yours.
Oh, yeah.
So they each would just hold, so the ribbons are tied to the sides of the stroller?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And so anywhere we'd go, they would hold onto those ribbons, and there were consequences if they didn't, if they let go of those ribbons.
See, that's genius. But it's so easy. Well, like, why would everyone not just think to do that?
It's funny because recently I was at Hill Country Austin, and I can't even remember who it was. I ran into somebody that remembered me from when we used to go there when I had three little children. And she said, you were the girl with the ribbons.
But that was the three. Like, it's over the years. Has she, like, have you gotten this one? There's ever been like six children all holding ribbons, or they get old enough?
Yeah, they get old enough to age out. And then I really didn't do it. So there becomes this herd mentality. So at some point, I didn't really have to train all the kids to stay around because they just did. They stayed in the pack. And so I could let some of that go. But it's funny because we'll go to the grocery store, and I rarely go with all seven, but sometimes I will. And my older three are determined to hold onto the basket because that was the other thing.
They're so trained to do it.
Okay. And so, you know, we'd go to a grocery store and they had to hold onto the basket. And if they let go, there would be consequences. And so even now, like, my almost 15-year-old will hold onto the basket, and they slow me down. They're like slowing my pace.
Right. So but they're just so well trained.
They're so used to it. And I'm like, let go of the basket. I trust you. Just walk. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have other things like we single file, they walk down a aisle in a store. They know, like, go to the right. So,
But don't you guys have a system, I thought, for grocery shopping? Like, I was thinking you had something where, like, one of them pushes. Maybe that was someone else.
Yeah, they used to do that. Again, I don't really grocery shop with them a whole lot anymore because now I've got babysitters, like in-house babysitters.
Built-in babysitters.
So it's like a total game changer. But yeah, they one of them pushed the cart, and another one helped with the list, writing, checking out the list, and then one would help put stuff in the cart. And so I would just try to keep them busy.
Yeah.
So I'm a germaphobe. So I know a lot of moms like feed their kids in baskets to keep them sane and occupied. I could never do that because I'm like
freaking out.
There's like fecal matter all over those stupid baskets. So I just can't.
Let me just teach you the trick to not being a germaphobe. You just can't let your mind go there. There's for sure fecal matter.
I can't.
Like, I can acknowledge that.
I can almost like feel it.
But the next time I go to the grocery store, I will just block that from my mind.
I wish. This is a lot healthier. Because what happens is I'm holding the basket. Oh, so what was great back in the day, I don't do it anymore, but I had the grocery cover cart, grocery cart cover, and I would hold that so I would never have to touch the cart.
Right.
But now I don't really use that. So, but I can almost feel the germs on my hands. Mm-hmm. There's like a heaviness on my hands until I get home and can wash them.
I can,
Because I'm
not,
it's crazy.
I'm not a germaphobe at all. Like, I'm probably the opposite of a germaphobe.
Yeah.
It is not true that your kids get sick when they come to my house.
It's not.
But I'm not a germaphobe. But I do kind of cross over to almost this bizarre, like, when my kids are newborns.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, for sure.
Become a germaphobe.
For
but,
sure.
But still, like, an unhealthy, like, when Gunner, my first, was a baby, like, a brand new newborn, I got, like, I actually think maybe I got to kind of, like, a mental health issue. So I would, like, we would go through a drive-thru place, and I would hand them my credit card.
Yeah.
And then when they handed it back, I would just kind of hold it over, and then I would get, like, a Clorox and clean my credit card.
That's a step further than I remember that.
But I remember during that time feeling that, like, the heavy on your hands, thinking I'm going to transfer that to Gunner.
It's my daily life.
That's why I do understand what you mean, but
yeah,
and I don't know. Mine goes away when my kids aren't babies.
That seems more normal.
Yeah. Your color code.
Oh yes.
Okay. That's so what I specifically, like and talk about.
We color code everything. And I don't know when I started that, but at some point I realized, like, they're never going to own up to anything. If I'm like, who left their plate out? Who left their towel on the floor? They're never going to own
right.
up. And there's enough of them that can hide. And so I came up with a color for each one. And we have color-coded towels. We have color-coded cups, color-coded plates.
Laundry bath. Isn't there a laundry basket?
Yeah. So they each have their own laundry. It's not a laundry tote. It's basically like a canvas tote where we put clean folded clothes in. And so they each have their own color of that. And so it's been really helpful to train because I'm like, hey, Evan, which typically it's Evan. Mm-hmm. Evan, you left your plate out. And she can't say, no, I didn't. Because I'm like, girl, you're hot pink.
Did they get to choose their colors?
Well, I mean, kind of. I mean, I chose them a long time ago. And they were the colors they liked. Now, since then, probably about 3 years ago, Greer and Evan decided they liked each other's color. So that was kind of the whole thing.
So they wanted to swap.
Yes.
But that would have kind of thrown off
we did
the
it.
World. Oh, you did?
We did it. Because
okay.
I am nothing but flexible.
I'm
really not.
I don't know about that.
But yeah, so they changed for purple and pink.
Okay.
And they traded. Mm-hmm. So it took a while to, so I kept blaming the wrong kid
right.
for a while until I wrapped my brain around it.
But again, it's genius and it's very simple.
Yeah, it is. It's really simple. And it's so helpful.
And with stuff like that in place, I feel like that is why when life kind of starts to fall apart,
yeah,
some things can kind of hold steady.
Yeah, there's definitely a structure there.
Well, you have the structure, you've got your systems in place. Everything doesn't just go to total chaos.
Totally. And it helps even in our calendaring because Blake and I both use paper calendars.
Okay.
Shout out to Plum Paper, which is half
the price. Did you say Plum Paper?
Yes, it's half the price of Erin Condren.
Okay.
But it's like identical.
Okay.
So
everybody make note of that.
Plug.
People
plug.
That are into planners are like really into planners.
Oh, we're really into planners.
It's like a thing, like you buy different like colored writing utensils and
absolutely.
Things. And
it's a whole thing. It's an accessory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tomorrow I get to order a new one.
Okay.
Because my calendar only goes to June and we have to plan for July and we're both freaking out. So
you are both freaking out. Blake is freaking out.
Yeah. He actually said you need to order your new planner because we need to put July dates in because he's going to Central Asia and it's not even on our calendar.
It's what, tell me again, Plum. Is it
Plum Paper?
I know everyone that does planners already knows this.
I don't know.
Brand, but
I don't know if they do. I found some on Etsy originally. Now they're like big. They're big.
I use a panda planner. I do use a planner.
It's called a panda planner?
A panda.
Is that the brand or is it a type of planner?
No, it's the brand.
I've never heard of this.
Okay. Well, it's because you're
looking
at how many you use.
Yeah. Well, all of our kids are color coded in my planner.
Oh.
And so.
This is next level.
Yeah. So Paper Mate Flares. I know a lot of you listeners love Paper Mate Flares because they're the most amazing pens. And so they each have their own color. Mm-hmm. And so I just write in my planner their activity. So I don't have to say Grayson dance 4:30. It's just dance 4:30. I know it's her
and it's colors. Okay.
Yeah. So Blake can easily look in the calendar
and know who goes where.
Yeah.
But y'all do not share. Y'all each have your own calendar.
We do. And he does not color code, much to my dismay. Mm-hmm. He actually has his own special pen too, but it's black. And so he'll take a picture of my calendar and then insert things in his.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. With y'all having separate calendars, how do you stay on top of making sure you each know what the other person is having in their calendar?
Yeah. I think towards the end of I don't actually know how he does it, but it happens a lot of times on dates.
Okay.
We bring our calendars.
You go back to calendars.
And then he takes a picture.
There's nothing really more like sexy.
Yeah.
Or spicy.
It's definitely a little bit of foreplay.
Okay.
Actually, it kind of is for me. I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually bet that it is.
Yeah, I totally see that. For sure.
Okay. Are there any other systems that you feel like people would just, like, I feel like the ribbon thing was amazing.
Yeah.
The color coding thing is amazing. Mm-hmm. What else?
Gosh, what any else is the system? Yeah, we have those things too, getting out of the car. I don't think you mentioned in the list of my awesomeness that I have a 15-passenger van now.
That's on the list. We're getting to that.
Okay. So that came, we only, we got that.
Yes, just jump to that. Your 15-pass, that's like a unique thing that you could have also shared in the like.
It is true.
Not many people have that.
Yeah, and I was so worried about getting that van, maybe not that particular van, but a big van in general, because I didn't want to be that weird homeschooling family. And
but
so,
you are.
But I am.
But and you're
I
not just, weird. That's the thing.
Yeah, I just have to embrace.
You're what, just the homeschooling family.
Yeah. So the van has changed our life. It's amazing because you can stand in it. You can walk around. It's like a party van. And so we have filled it up multiple times since November with friends. So it's been great. But we have systems there. Like the kids know who they have to unbuckle and who they have to buckle and, you know, who helps who. When my kids were younger, so they were all younger. I don't think Locke was born yet. So I can't remember. And I actually got this from the Duggars.
Okay. So when I asked you last night, and I was like, what do you attribute kind of like your main source of why you're such a good parent?
Well,
I'm asking you, is it the books you read?
No. We watched like four episodes of their show. So I know. But she basically, her older kids are paired up with a younger kid.
Right.
And so for probably a couple of years, we had that system where that kid had, the older kid was buddied up and had to make sure that the younger one was dressed and had their hair done, had their water bottle, you know, all those things. So it was really great.
An older kid paired up with the younger kid.
We kind of have that on Sunday still. Aiden's in charge of the boy's hair. Evan's in charge of putting Locke's backpack for church together.
Bottom line is it's like at all times, everyone kind of knows
what
they're supposed to be doing and what happens at this time and who does what. And it's not left up in the air for people to kind of figure out. Yes, I think that's the key.
Yeah,
you really know what's happening. One time, I think it must have been Grayson, which is your 14 was babysitting, and I was driving her home, and she had some kind of like alarm that went off on her phone. And I asked her what it was, and she said, I guess that you guys kind of had like, they have I'm trying to remember what it was. Maybe it was like with feeding the dog or something, but they don't like, they each have like a day, right? Where it's their turn, and so they each, I don't know if you do it for them or they do it, but it's programmed into their phone to send them a reminder like today is your day to do this.
The only caveat to that is they're not allowed to have their phones at all times. So it's kind of backfired because they do have those alarms on their phone, but they can only have certain times of day they have their phone. So there is a lot of reminding, but Blake just did a new schedule on the chalkboard over here by our dog's food to remind them of what days are theirs so that we're not nagging.
I like it.
Yeah.
You know what you need on your 15-passenger van?
What?
My friend Kelly took a picture. I think she just texted it to me. I don't think she posted it on Facebook, but she was behind a van or like an SUV yesterday. You know, like the stick family people or whatever.
Can't
I know. Me either. But this is even thing. This said like... it said something, I'm going to get it wrong, but it said something like, we're the ass family. And then it had like the stick figure dad. And it was like smart.
Oh, that's funny.
What are the different ways? You
dumb.
Call them a smart ass and dumb ass. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was like seven different ones
that
for each
funny.
Stick figure person.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. That would really make your 15-passenger van stand out.
It would.
It doesn't already. It doesn't stand out.
And then we'd have to like explain what that means to some of our kids.
Yes.
We are like notorious for not having stickers on cars.
Right.
Like,
except that your mom has a Bush's chicken sticker on her car.
I recently put one on the front of mine.
Why? Do you get some kind of is it like a reward program at Bush's?
Yeah, like you get happy hour prices all day. So I can get an unsweet tea for happy hour.
If you have the sticker on your
car. If you have the sticker.
Oh.
And the chicken tender rolls for like a dollar. So if I need like a quick lunch.
Okay.
So
people that are listening are getting all sorts of insights.
I'm just full of it tonight.
You are.
But I put it on the front of my car so that nobody can see it because I'm a little bit ashamed. I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
I'm a little ashamed.
I don't know if it's embarrassing. It's just when I first started noticing on your mom's, I just kept thinking, why does she have that?
Yeah.
She just likes Bush's.
We're just
so
like pro Bush's. Well, we're sort of anti-sticker. However, we decided that we're collecting stickers and we're going to have cool stickers on our car.
Okay. Oh, kind of like license plate, like quirky, ironic.
Maybe. So, I mean, I don't know if they're cool, but I think we're going to like them. We already have an I Love Sprouts one.
Okay. And I want to kind of seem like you're kind of like granola-ish.
Well,
like
we kind of are. We're not hipsters.
Okay.
No, we're kind of granola-ish.
Yeah. Just homeschool granola-ish, yeah, not totally. Hipsters. Okay.
I don't think we're too old to be hipsters.
Are we?
I don't know.
Maybe you just are. I'm not a hipster.
I mean, you are 3 years younger. You don't think?
One.
I feel like hipsters are like 20 to 28 or something.
Are they? You don't have to stay a hipster for life.
I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works. I think then you're just lame.
Maybe so.
Yeah, we're going to have a Trader Joe's shout out bumper sticker.
Okay.
I don't know what else. We're thinking through it. We're, you know, brainstorming.
I'll just all over the back.
No. It's going to be in like one strip. It's going to be very organized.
Okay. Okay.
But we're not going to put them on until we have them all together. Mm. So it's not going to be like, here's a sticker.
Right.
It's going to be well done. Yeah.
Okay. So we have a lot of other things I want to talk about. So you cannot talk about this next thing for more than like 45 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be very difficult for you.
Very
for me.
Okay.
But as we're still talking through why parenting runs smoothly in your home, why mm-hmm. things kind of hold steady, that's our theme.
Okay.
I feel like another reason under kind of this umbrella of parenting mm-hmm. is your discovery of the Enneagram.
We only have 45 seconds.
You have to maybe a minute, kind of give a minute long, maybe even just kind of a plug for why people ought to further investigate the Enneagram.
So the Enneagram is amazing. Everybody needs to be well-versed in it. It has been so helpful for us to see where our kids are coming from. So it's a personality theory based on 9 numbers. And so everybody's a number, everybody's a wing, everybody has a number they go to in stress and 1 in times of growth, healthy times. And so it's just been huge for us to see where our kids are coming from, to see what motivates them, to see what they're fearful of. Because there's some things that are just intrinsic to each number. So they're the same no matter who you are. Like if you're 6, these things are true of you. And there's a lot of variation there, but there's still like core fears and core motivations. And so, I think it's given us a lot more grace and understanding for our kids. And I think personally for me, I'm an Enneagram 8, which is the challenger, bossy pants. And I think for me, it's easy for me to go to anger, which is indicative of an 8, 9, and 1. They're all like the anger triad. And so it's given me a lot more understanding in that moment to like, okay, I'm probably going to be angry in this moment. I need to like chill the heck out and like hear where they're coming from and whatever. So it's been huge for our marriage. Like there's been so many light bulb moments where we're like, oh my gosh, that's why you always do that.
Right.
Or that's why you answer that way. Or that's why we interact in this certain, you know,
and then
area.
It kind of becomes less annoying because you're
absolutely
understanding.
Absolutely.
Well, this is why.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely becomes less annoying. And almost a gift. Like I can see like, oh, God made him this way. And this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. But so if someone was very intrigued by what you just said and wanted to know more about the Enneagram, what would be like a very good place for them to just start that journey?
So don't take a test online. That's where everybody messes up. Don't take a test online. That's like, it's not helpful. Read The Road Back to You by Ian Cron and Suzanne
Stabile.
Say that
slower. The Road Back to You. Ian who?
Ian Cron.
Okay.
And Suzanne Stabile. And that's basically the primer to help you understand just what the Enneagram is all about. And then Suzanne authored a book by herself after that, and it's called The Path Between Us. And that's more like how interpersonally this all works out. And then she has a podcast, and I actually cannot remember. I think it's called The Enneagram Journey. That's really good. And there's Typology podcast and The Road Back to You podcast. So I think hearing people's stories is helpful to see like, oh, I relate to that person, or I really don't relate to that person, and kind of narrows down your what number you could be. And so, yeah, I think that's all in there. But
that's a good starter. a good starter for someone. Okay. So moving out of parenting and into another aspect of your life that kind of has just held steady despite circumstances potentially being against it is your marriage to Blake, who's sitting over on the couch kind of observing us.
Oh, so cute.
And we can't spend too much time. We got so many things to talk about. That's why you have to come back and maybe spend time like talking about each of these things for a whole episode.
Do you see that? Do you see what he did there?
Funny guy.
Funny guy.
What, and I have one that I specifically want you to talk about, but you can have some freedom to talk about whatever you want to. What do you think has kind of helped you and Blake? I mean, a lot of the things that you guys have gone through, those are things that could really weaken a marriage or even pull a marriage apart. Like, experience, you know, loss and grief and all of these things, job transition, all these things. I'm not saying it hasn't ever been. I'm sure that it has potentially been difficult on you guys. Maybe you've even had rough patches, but you definitely held strong and steady. And what do you attribute that to?
Well, I mean, really just Jesus, honestly. I mean, he's, I mean, he really is like the reason we do any of this. And are somewhat, you know, capable or whatever. But I think, you know, we had a rough patch in 2010 where we just weren't seeing eye to eye and we were lacking some intimacy. And so we went to counseling and our counselor was just incredible. And he actually is the one I went to go see by myself later. But I think that was providential, like prior to all this loss was us working some things out where we were on the same page and moving in the same direction and really believing that we're for each other and that we're one and all those good churchy words. And so I think that definitely laid the groundwork for what was coming. And I don't know where we would be if that hadn't happened prior, because that was so foundational and important to us. And so, yeah, I think just tuning up our marriage and realizing or seeing our weak points and really working to make those things stronger with God's help gave us a place to grow stronger in those, you know, areas that came up with loss and whatever. And I remember specifically like when we lost Tate in 2013, that was our first loss. I think I said that earlier, but it was hugely bonding for us. I know that that has broken many couples apart, but for us, we needed to go through loss together. We needed to see how, like, we loved each other in those moments and served each other. We needed
to. Because you hadn't really had to do that before in that capacity.
Yeah. We needed to experience that just as a couple in ministry who is ministering to families with loss. And so, I mean, it was one of the most devastating things that's ever happened to me, but I wouldn't change it because it just really solidified a lot of things in our marriage and just seeing how he served me so selflessly and lovingly and gently was, it was just huge for me. And so I think even that loss was like so helpful for the next losses that would come because we kind of knew how we would respond in that, in those moments. And
probably also maybe gave you a little bit of encouragement of, okay, we have weathered this before.
Yeah.
We did it well.
Yeah.
And so we can do it again.
Although I don't even know if I had the clarity to even think about my marriage in those moments. Like, I hope we do okay. Like, when you're in the middle of grief, it's just, you're just holding on. So I would say that we get away at least yearly, sometimes bi-yearly. Is that what you say?
Yes. I wanted you to actually elaborate on that. Y'all do something. It's not just kind of like that you just get away randomly. Yeah. You do a structured
thing. We love our structure.
Get away to get it together, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we were doing, so there's an actual book on Amazon called Get Away to Get It Together. And prior to knowing about that book, I think we learned about that book about 10 years ago. But prior to that, we would get away for something that we heard other leaders do called prayer and planning time. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially the same thing, but we get away and we spend time praying about and planning for and talking through
and calendar coordinating
all the things in our family. Things coming up, heart issues in our kids' lives. We take time for each child, and we basically come up with the fruit of the spirit that we see they need to grow in each year, and what that's going to look like practically for us to help them grow in that. We talk about some blind spots in their life, some sin in their life, some strengths, and what we see God is doing.
Repeat those again, because I want to make note, and I think other people will. So when it comes to each child, you talk about a fruit of the spirit that you want to develop.
Yeah.
A sin area that you want to see them particularly struggling with.
Yeah. A blind spot that they're not aware of. And then we celebrate the good things happening, the ways we've seen them grow. And we always take out last year's notes. And so sometimes it's a little more discouraging than others, because sometimes it is like, oh, we picked the same fruit of the spirit for the same kid last year. Apparently
they're,
yeah. And sometimes we're like, oh, they have grown in this, and we can see some fruit. And so,
what is something that you feel like you guys do when you identify here's the fruit of the spirit that we want to develop in our child? So then what do you do when you go home? How do you implement that or help foster that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we pray specifically for that. Like, we start praying for those fruits in each of their lives, because then it makes us more mindful of our interactions and just like, I don't know, how we do life with them. I'm not sure. It just sort of works out. Like, we're,
you're just, because you are focusing on that.
Yeah. We're just mindful of it. Totally. We're big talkers. Our kids are big talkers. We have lots of late nights with our kids, because that seems to be when they want to open up, our older kids.
That's something that I remember you talking about not too long ago, how kind of the little years, which is what I'm mostly in, mm-hmm. are hard, mm-hmm. you know, but at least your kids do go to bed at like 7 in that time frame. And then you kind of cross over into these teenage years, and the parenting kind of in some ways starts at like 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah. Which for us, fortunately, unfortunately, we have both, because we have such a span of kids. We've got these toddlers and preschoolers, early elementary, and then we have these older kids, tweens and teens. And so we feel a little bit, you know, bipolar, schizophrenic, because we're like, you know, just working on very simple obedience with the little ones and like very concrete consequences. And then like the older kids were having these like heavy heart conversations where we're trying to like get into their world, and their consequences look very different and much more creative and much more taxing. So
without kind of, obviously you don't want to invade on your kids' privacy on air, not that we have a ton of listeners, but so without doing that, just so we kind of have an idea, those of us that don't have these older kids yet, what sort of issues, like, you're kind of, you said it's like these much more complex issues that you're now having to talk about or deal with, like, what is one such example of maybe something that you've had to recently sort through or walk through with one of your older kids?
Well, I think it's constantly under this umbrella. Everything is constantly under this umbrella is identity. Mm-hmm. Constantly. So it plays out differently, it looks differently for each kid, but it comes down to identity, like what they believe about themselves, how much they're believing what the world says about them or their friends, where they're placing their self-worth, where they're, you know, so some of my kids, it's in the opposite sex. Some of them, it's with their friends and they want to be well-liked and popular and well-received. Some of them, it's in how they dress. They want to be in the know. They want to have tea, you know.
They want to have what?
Tea. It's
tea?
Yeah. They want to have tea to share.
What does that mean?
It's basically news.
Oh.
Yeah. So you'll hear them, oh my gosh, I have tea. Oh my gosh, I have so much tea.
Does tea,
it's a new slang.
Does it stand for something that I'm not understanding?
Spilling tea.
They're spilling tea. They're basically just, they have news to share with somebody.
Okay.
So, even how they interact with us, how they interact with other people, like if they are critical about somebody, it really is coming back to like who they are in Christ and what they believe about them and what they believe about that other person.
Right.
So everything comes back to like their identity.
An identity umbrella.
Yeah. Grades. It could be like, I have a couple kids that are just want to have perfect grades. And so when they don't, or when it's harder, they melt down and they freak out and it's like, they don't know what to think of themselves.
You know, if Nason was here right now, he'd say, y'all have grades in homeschooling?
Yeah, we do. Thank you very much, Nason. Well, we're in a co-op.
Right.
And so they do their history and English in the co-op. And then Aiden, he's in high school, and he does one-day academy. And so he does algebra and biology there. And so I'm actually not really teaching him anymore.
Because you're not for that you're equipped to teach algebra or biology.
Well, I'm definitely not equipped to teach algebra. I really can't teach past fifth grade math. But no, he's just really independent. Like, that's kind of the goal of homeschooling, is to get them to this place where they're self-feeding, self-learning, you know, they're setting up their days. And so Greer, my sixth grader, she's pretty much on her own too.
She just kind of has a basic outline of what has to happen that day.
We do history together. She has history assignments from her teacher. And so we do that together, me and her and then the two younger girls. But then the rest of it, she just does her own. We edit papers for her, and definitely she'll get stuck in math, and we'll have to, she does an online program, but we'll have to talk to her about that. But yeah, I don't really do much with the older three at all.
That's cool.
It's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to move into this other segment.
Okay.
Okay. I just thought of this.
Okay. Oh gosh. You have a smirk on your face.
No, I think it'll just be kind of fun, but it might put you on the spot a tiny bit, but I think you can hang.
Okay.
I don't know if a snap is annoying.
I like it.
Microphone.
I like it. I feel like we're like an old timey radio show. Snap and a
like
boom
a
mic.
Doo-wop.
Yeah.
Okay. This segment, I just named it just right this second. It's just called One Thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you this kind of a quick question. You have to quickly answer.
Okay.
If you are going to get one thing right in parenting, it should be this. What?
That I point him to Jesus.
Okay. Love it. And you did it quick. If you're going to memorize, you as in our listeners, our vast pool of listeners, if you're going to memorize one scripture, what's it going to be?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I think I would just think a lot of stuff in James. I have a problem with my mouth. My mouth is my sin area, and that's all about, like, practical ways to, like...
You're, like, walking around the house dropping the F-bomb all the time?
Well, no. It's not a language issue. It's a critical issue. It's a saying, I should just think it, not say it kind of
right.
issue. So I would think something in James or First John. I don't know. I'm really learning a lot with abiding in Christ right now. And that First John's all about that. I don't know. Maybe something like that.
That's good. Something in James. If you're going to do one thing to keep it spicy in your marriage, each buy a plum paper planner.
Yeah, that's the trick.
Without your calendar.
That's the trick. Date your spouse. We date regularly. Every week we date. Every week we go on a date. And we haven't always done it. No, maybe we have always done it weekly, but it's looked different in different seasons. Like at-home dates were very much a reality when our kids were all little, but we've had babysitters for 3 years or so. Mm-hmm. So,
which means that you're living the dream.
I'm living the dream. I mean, we just have to make sure one of the older three are home and mm-hmm. we're like, hey, peace out. We're going to go wherever we want.
And they don't get an option or say in the matter. It's not like, will you babysit your siblings tonight? It's, we're doing this.
Yes. They have an allowance. So that's part of that allowance.
Right.
But, I mean, it's definitely not a good hourly rate.
Right. I get paid better in Haley's house. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, for sure. But we do pay them like in fun food or like like fun TV shows. Mm-hmm. They really like Fresh Off the Boat. So they'll, or Angel get to play Fortnite, you know, things right. like that. Once the kids all go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say date your spouse, make him a priority.
Okay.
Huge.
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 If you're going to own one product to make your life easier, it could be like a, I don't know, appliance. It could be a cleaning product. It could
oh my
be a,
gosh.
Like a fixing yourself up product.
I feel like there's so many.
But you have to pick one.
No.
You have to pick one.
Okay. I'm going to say planner. I'm not going to say planner, but just know that I'm saying planner.
Blonde paper.
Because
blonde paper, that.
Yeah. Dang. Oof. What would I say? Nalgene? My Nalgene?
Your Nalgene is your listen, product that makes your life easier?
Listen, I'm crazy about water, and I feel like water is, like, hugely important.
Are you sure it's not just because it's sitting on the table and your eyes landed on it?
No, I take it everywhere. My kids take the, you know this, my kids take their water yes. bottles everywhere.
Right, except that when they're at my house, they just kind of leave all them. Drink out of one.
Oh, so. Yeah, so maybe that.
Okay.
We drink a lot of water, and I feel like we're not very sick. We drink a lot of water. I actually am sick right now. I'm cold, so.
You actually had a fever.
I do. I have a fever.
But since I'm not a germaphobe, I'm not bothered by this at all.
One product.
I don't think it can be your Nalgene
okay,
water.
Okay, fine. It's fine.
Lame. Like an appliance.
I'm like looking like around my house right now.
What about the waffle or the like pancake thing that your mom bought all of us for Christmas a few years ago?
A griddle?
A griddle.
No. Hard no.
That's not a thing.
Hard okay. no. Costco membership?
That's a good one. There you go. I'll accept that.
Yeah.
A Costco card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
It may be my Amazon Fire Stick.
There you go. There's another good one.
Okay. Maybe those two.
It's better than your Nalgene water bottle.
It's true, though.
Significantly better.
I drink like 3 or 4 of these a day. My goal is 4. And I feel like we all
that's
run better,
better
if we're drinking water.
Do you not
more.
Just feel like you pee nonstop?
Yeah.
Do you not get annoyed?
But it's kind of a
pee?
Game.
It's like it's irritating to me when I have to pee nah. so often.
Well, a little bit. No, but it's kind of a game because my goal is to make the clearest pee ever. And so, yeah, if it's like even the tiniest bit yellow, I'm like, horrifying. Oh my gosh. What's happening? Oh my gosh. I'll tell you what my thing is. Essential oils.
Oh, that's true.
Heck. Brain fart.
Heck. Shout out to Young Living.
Shout out to Young Living.
Last night we had way more shout outs. I feel like they were lucky.
I know.
You shouted out to like a lot of your friends.
We
last
did.
Night. Man, gosh. Susan and Jesse, you got shouted out.
You did. Kendall
night.
And Kendall. Heather Ballard.
Yes. Yep.
Y'all got shout outs.
Yep.
You'll never know now why.
Yep. They just know that you did.
Yeah.
Okay, are we beginning?
Actually, I'm going to tell Jessie's real quick.
Okay.
It wasn't a shop.
Jessie hosted an Indian cooking
Indian
at her house.
Indian supper club.
An Indian supper club.
What in the world?
Yeah,
that was a test of our friendship right there.
Yeah.
So it was more like it wasn't really a shout out as much as like disgruntled.
A call out.
Yeah, call out.
Okay. So we're going to move into this other segment.
Okay.
All about segments.
Oh my gosh.
It just kind of flooded me right now.
I'm nervous.
No, this will be fun, I think.
Okay.
Set my clock for 2 minutes and you're going to interview me.
Okay.
You're going to be a podcaster for the next, I don't know, 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. So go.
All right.
Start however you'd like.
What is one area that you'd like to grow in?
Okay. I would for sure like to grow in my ability to have my own opinion or to just have an opinion.
Spoken like a true 9.
I am a 9 on the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
And
Taylor, did you hear that? She's a 9 out of 6.
For sure. Shout out to Taylor.
Shout out to Taylor.
I always like to say shout out with people's names. I'm for sure a 9. And part of being a 9 is that oftentimes you kind of merge and become just kind of like the people that you're with.
Yeah.
Or just like other, a 9, I think the quote that they say is that a 9's biggest, like a 9 can be every other number on
yes.
the Enneagram except mm-hmm. for a 9.
Yeah, they're asleep
so
to
true.
Themselves.
Asleep to themselves. And I will say that there is a part of that that is a good thing because sometimes I think people think I may be too afraid to speak my mind mm-hmm. or, you know, I'm trying to please them so I don't want to. And sometimes that is true. So that's the part I'll speak to in a minute where I want to grow. But sometimes I truly just don't care.
Yeah.
I'm really, really go with the flow. There's a lot of times where I honestly, whatever you pick, that's really fun. Yeah. And I'm great with that. And
I think I'm married to a nine, so I believe that.
Yes. So it's not always that I'm afraid to. I think it makes me kind of an easy to get along with person. But there are also times where I do have an opinion, and either I'm just...
Well, you have a huge fear of conflict.
I have a fear of conflict.
As a nine, not as a Haley.
Right. As a nine. And that's true, though. Mm-hmm. Fear of conflict. I definitely want to please people. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that makes me just not... say what my true opinion is. Yeah. Sometimes I just am not even self-aware enough to realize I actually do have an opinion.
Yeah.
I just need to act to become aware of that. Mm-hmm. So that's the area I want to grow.
I like that. What is a favorite book? I know you're a huge reader. Actually, yes. Before I ask that, what's your favorite genre of books?
Oh man. Okay. Well, I guess if I had to pick a genre, and that would be difficult for me to do, I would say historical fiction and specifically World War II era.
This is you and Blake have this in common.
That's because we're both nice.
Yeah.
So if I had to pick, I would
like
say
to read about war, but you don't want to be in conflict.
Right. But Blake and I, if you remember, both have the Eight Wing.
Yes.
So there is a part of this that thrives on conflict. Like maybe I don't want to cause it, but I kind of like
want to see it. Like you're aware.
Someone else is causing it.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe. So I guess if I had to pick historical fiction, I'm in a book club right now. So it's like my horizons have been broadened. Most everything that has been selected, I have liked a lot. What's your question? Just what my favorite genre is?
Yes, and then what's a favorite book?
Yeah,
maybe not the favorite book. Maybe a book that's had a big impact.
A favorite. I don't know about impact. You made it more complicated when you said that because there's too many to think through. No, because there's too many to think through.
Okay,
but some favorite books. I love The Glass Castle. And you read The Glass Castle? Our family book club did read that one.
We read some good books.
We did. The Glass Castle is a really good one.
I don't read a lot of fiction. Actually, I never do.
The Rosie Project, I just finished reading. I would definitely put a shout out to the Rosie Project.
Shout out.
That was good.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
You get to ask one more question, then you're back in the hot seat for the final segment of our show.
Okay. Who is a friend that you're really enjoying right now, lately?
Taylor Nichols. And this will be a strong shout out to Taylor Nichols. Taylor is actually a long and dear friend of mine, but as we kind of go through life, I feel like the two of us kind of will come together for a while and then we'll go a really long time where we're not crossing paths much. And so we kind of just came off of one of those times. I don't know that we've actually, like, she has doubled her family size since the last time I had talked to her.
Yes.
All sorts of things have changed in her life because it's probably been 2 years since we really consistently hung out. And then not because of me, because I'm not saying I'm not a good friend, but I'm not a good friend in initiating contact. That is not my strength because Taylor is good at that and is a good friend. She initiated a friend that I haven't talked to in 2 years. Let's start talking again. So we've been hanging out and I just remember how much I love Taylor. But Taylor, and this is why there's a shout out, Taylor just started her own podcast and it's actually significantly better than mine. It's called the Speak Life. I hope I'm saying it right. I'm trying to quickly pull it up and I can't, but Speak Life with Taylor Nichols,
yes.
I believe.
Her first guest is a little bit better than yours.
I mean, it depends on how you look at it, but
her first guest is Bob Goff.
Her first guest is Bob Goff. I'm not sure Bob Goff ever put ribbons on the sides of his strollers.
I mean, I don't think he did.
So you could say he's better, but I'm not so sure of it.
Yeah.
But Speak Life with Taylor Nichols is a podcast worth listening to. So that's a friend I'm enjoying.
That's good.
Are you ready to switch back? And for the last 5 minutes, be back in the hot seat. Okay. This is how we're going to end every episode ever.
Okay.
I want you to tell me one thing that you are loving in Austin right now. This could be a restaurant. It could be a park. It could be whatever, but something Austin specific.
Austin specific. Okay. I love the Domain with my teens and tweens.
Okay.
I usually will get my mom to watch the rest of the kids. And then we basically just park. They go their own ways. Blake and I go our own way, hold hands, act like we're on a date, and then meet back up. And sometimes they'll have friends with them, sometimes not. But I just feel like it pleases all the people. They get to bring
everyone's
money.
Happy.
Everybody's happy. And they feel big. And, you know, they're in a good mood for a while. And then Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's
has my heart.
Okay.
I love that place.
Because?
It is my happy place. Mm-hmm. There's so many reasons. They have little shopping baskets for the little ones.
Yeah.
They have a stuffed cow that's hidden in the store. And so everybody gets a chance to find the cow. And when you do, you tell the cashier and you get a lollipop. So all my kids are super excited.
Organic, right?
Organic.
Organic
lollipop. Yep. Win-win. They also give stickers. They have the best reusable bags. Their gluten-free products are so great. They're, you know, everything they sell is like their brand, except for a handful of things, but, and their brand is so good. It's like such quality and it's cheap. And for all you keto listeners, it's the cheapest place to get organic cream, since that's basically our thing.
Really quick on that note, do you know about bean pods? Bean pods?
No.
Okay.
Bean pods. I can't have beans on keto.
Well, it's not a bean. No, I'm sorry. Not bean pods. Not bean pods. Nut pods.
No.
Okay.
Even weirder.
I was at an Enneagram discussion group this morning.
Oh, gosh. What? Why was I not invited?
This is a very invite. Taylor invited me.
She doesn't even know what she is.
I got in with
Taylor. Doesn't even know what number she is.
She doesn't. She's trying to figure that out. But they had coffee and a few of the girls were bummed because I think someone was supposed to have brought the nut pods.
What is that?
It's like, I feel like even after them explaining, I still didn't totally understand, but I guess if you can buy them at Costco, is what I gathered.
I'm going tomorrow.
I think it's maybe like almond. It's like non-dairy pods to put into your...
Like your Keurig?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's like a non-dairy option if you like to have creamer in your coffee. And it's called Nut Pods.
Huh.
I don't know. They tried to explain it. And I acted like I understood, but I didn't.
Okay.
And because the person that was supposed to bring them forgot, I didn't get to...
Well, I'm going to Costco tomorrow, so I'm going to look and I will take a picture for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I just love Trader Joe's. Oh, and the cashiers are so great. They hire like... I don't even know. My theory is that they make their employees really happy because they're like the happiest people ever.
Yeah. And typically you wouldn't necessarily think that working at a grocery store would make you overjoyed.
No, but they are so engaging and they're always talking to my kids and finding out our story. Some of them know me. Some of them remember me.
Okay. Well, cause you're the lady with the 7 kids.
Well, yes, it's either that or the redhead family
or that,
like we get both.
Mm-hmm.
Or
the kids in passenger van family.
Well, they don't know that.
Or one of many things.
But sometimes we'll be there during the school day. And so they're like, hey, why aren't you in school?
So you're the play hooky family.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you reading right now?
I'm reading The Path Between Us by Suzanne Stabile.
Enneagram person, once again, just to remind you.
Yep. It's really good so far. I'm reading... oh my gosh, what's it called? It's Paul Tripp.
Oh yeah, you told me yesterday.
Yeah.
Even though I'm supposed to act like this is our first time to talk.
Yeah. Although most of the stuff was new today.
It's true.
Oh my gosh, what is it called? We're just gonna talk as I look it up real quick. Paul Tripp is amazing. If y'all have never read anything by him, he is a great author. It is called, I'm so close. I admit, Age of Opportunity.
Okay. This is by Paul Tripp?
Yes. And I've read it before, but it was before I was like in the thick of teens. And so I'm rereading it. And it's a biblical guide to parenting teens. So he's a wealth of wisdom.
He is.
And then Blake and I are doing his marriage devotional at night, and it's called New Morning Mercies, and it's short. It's real short.
When do you, and I actually do as well, find time to read because it's my favorite thing ever to do, but other moms often comment to me, when do you find time to read?
Yeah.
And I do find time, but I have half the number of kids that you have, and mine are going to bed earlier than yours.
Yes.
So when do you, you're reading 3 books right now, you just said, when do you find time to read?
I definitely have time to read, even with all that stuff that you're saying. I'm distracted. Yeah.
You find time to read.
I do find time to read, okay. But I don't always choose to read.
Okay.
So I definitely have time because Blake's a huge reader. Mm-hmm. He's got a stack of books on his bedside. I think he'd rather read than do most anything, yep. Except maybe date me.
Right.
And so
like there's a date to Barnes and Noble would be yes. A dream come true.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, totally. Or Half Price Books.
Okay.
So there's always an option to read at night. I don't always do that. So that's what I read is at night, but I don't always do that because I just sometimes just want to watch a House Hunters and fall asleep right. Or just talk to Blake or whatever. So,
okay. What are you drinking right now? And we talked about this last night. We talked about I feel like there always needs to be a fun drink.
Yeah.
It does not have to be an alcoholic drink. Although sometimes for me it is. It's not for you, but
I wish it was.
And I need my coffee. That's my fun morning drink.
Yes.
I kind of transition at some point into a soda, probably.
Yeah.
I might have an iced coffee.
Yeah.
Because in the morning I want my hot coffee, but kind of mid afternoon I need a pick me up. So like an iced coffee becomes my fun drink at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Happy hour time, I might have a drink
mm-hmm.
at night. I like hot tea, but I feel like I can't sit down and like watch a movie or mm-hmm. I don't know. Every event seems like there needs to be a corresponding drink. So I brought it to you last night and asked you what your fun drink was, and it was water.
So as a pro water person, I feel a little worried about your rundown just now. I didn't hear water at all in that.
Water happens in the mix of all.
Because that was a lot of drinks that you drink during the
day. I drink a good deal of water as well.
So I feel like you're peeing all day.
I am. And that's what I'm saying. It's irritating to me. I don't like it.
Yeah. So I played a little game with myself. Here's part of it is that I love systems because I'm an eight.
Right.
And I follow through with systems because I'm an eight.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I feel like I'm like crushing somebody when I'm telling somebody about my systems because they are like, oh, I can never do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you probably can't because you're not an eight.
Right.
And so you just kind of have to do you and figure out what works for you, you know? So
although I think everyone can probably benefit from some kind of system structure.
True. Although, you know, I don't want it to be like a noose or a yoke around your neck. But I play a game with myself where I have to drink two Nalgenes before I have something quote unquote fun.
But your fun is an unsweet iced tea.
It's an unsweet iced tea, but I do sweeten it with a little stevia.
Okay, that's fun.
So it's a blast.
It's really fun.
So I usually have that at lunch. And then I do drink Zevia every now and then.
Yes.
It's a soda sweetened with stevia, mm-hmm. except they're like crazy expensive. So they're more of a treat.
And those can be purchased anywhere?
At Sprouts or Whole Foods.
Okay.
HEB has them. I wish that I liked coffee. I don't. I hate it. I think it's gross. I think that would make my life a lot easier if I liked it. I don't drink. I don't like alcohol. I think I have like sensory issues because mm-hmm. those two are just, things are so gross to me. But I feel like I feel more like an adult if I could drink those things.
If you were going to develop an affection and not like an over, I don't mean like a dependency.
Yeah.
But you said you'd feel like more like an adult if you liked coffee or a glass of wine. Which would you rather
coffee.
If you could like?
Coffee. Because I feel like that would perk me up in the morning.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm like trudging through life.
Right.
But I do think I would make a good Mormon.
Yes. We talked about that. Yes.
Yes. Because I don't drink alcohol or coffee. And I have lots of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I probably am mistaken for a Mormon. Mm-hmm. Although, actually, no, here's a dead giveaway. I'm not very happy. Like, I have, like, I mean, I am happy, but I have, what is it, RSB? No, RBS.
RBS?
RBS. RBF. There we go. Resting bitch face.
Right.
And so...
And that's what you feel like Mormons have? You realize Brian
podcast
right now is Mormon.
No, they don't have that.
Uh-oh.
That's the telltale. That's why...
No, you're not.
That's why the Mormons sniff me out and know, oh, she's not a Mormon.
You're not happy enough.
Because she doesn't have a smile. She's not, like, precious and nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm like,
Okay. Yeah, so, snarl.
Yeah, I do have to work on my face a lot. Like I had some people call me out in college on it. And so I do try to like maintain my face a little bit and look more pleasant.
Right.
I have practiced in front of the mirror.
Yeah.
So that
I do that too. Whenever I see a picture of myself, that's just kind of like if you don't realize the picture's being taken and you have to just be standing or sitting.
It's like a scowl 100% for me.
It's bad. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to be quick. We're nearing the end. What are you listening to? What's a song that you're just loving? We've already heard about Cute, so let's move past that.
Okay. I'm loving the new Bethel album.
Okay.
Love me some Bethel. And I can't remember what the name of the song is. I could look it up while we're talking. But yeah, Bethel. I'm loving some Post Malone.
Me too. What's your favorite Post Malone song?
I think right now Sun Power.
Oh yeah.
My it's got a cool chill that. Vibe. Mm-hmm. And my kids love it, and they think it's funny that I like this. Here's the thing. My kids think I'm like some old fogey.
Right.
And then they're thrown off when I like this music.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, why are you listening to this? And I'm like, listen, I've been listening to this stuff longer than you've been alive. Right. So,
well, and at your kid's age, I can, like, so with my kids, mine are younger than yours.
Yeah.
I almost like Post Malone, in my opinion, is more geared at
hello.
Me
totally.
Than it is at Gunner. But Gunner feels the same way. He thinks that's funny too.
Yeah.
Like, this is really, I mean, we're not that old.
Yeah.
Isn't this music kind of geared for us?
Totally. Yeah, they don't know. Oh, you know what song I'm loving right now? And I'm blasting on the way to church. Is it's by Hillsong, and it's called Rain / Rain.
Rain / Rain.
Yeah, it's like rain as in the weather, rain.
Oh, and then rain
/ rain as in God rains.
Okay.
I cannot get enough of it.
Okay.
And I blast it, and I love it so much.
Okay.
So that's the song I'm listening to.
Okay. Final question. What are you watching?
The Kids Are All Right.
The Kids Are All Right.
Listen, guys, if y'all haven't found this show, find the show. It's on Hulu. For those of you who have cables on ABC, I think, as we talked about in my small group tonight, it is a sitcom, but not like slapstick. It's like a kind of a little bit darker, set in the 70s, about an Irish Catholic family of 8 boys.
Okay.
And it is so funny. The mom has the best one-liners I've ever heard. I relate to some of them as a mom of a lot of kids. And then some things I wish I could say, but I don't. Because partly because of Christ, but also they're such penny pinchers that the things that she makes her kids do is just so funny. I mean, Blake and I roll when we watch that show.
The Kids Are All Right.
The Kids Are All Right.
Okay,
watch it. You will not be sorry.
Okay, are your kids all right right now? Are your kids in bed sleeping?
They are.
They've done a fantastic job of letting us have a pretty silent house.
I know,
for our podcast.
I know. Blake probably found them. Possibly, yeah.
But maybe not because he's a 9.
True. Although he's got a pretty strong 8 wing.
Yeah.
And I think being married to me has brought that out in him too.
Fight or flight.
But he's got He's got the weird. Like people are always really nervous around him. Hmm. They're not nervous around him, but they're always like, oh my gosh, like that when he's really angry, like it's scary. Mm-hmm. And it is because he's super calm.
Yeah, it's like a psycho.
It's
like
kind of psycho. It's like deliberate and his words are very deliberate and controlled. Mm-hmm. And the piercing.
It's like psychopathic.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it you? I think maybe it was you one time. I think that you either said this or you posted it on Facebook. If it wasn't you, I don't know, but it made me laugh because I identify completely when you kind of like almost for me, the more angry I get and therefore the scarier. Instead of yelling,
totally,
it's kind of this like very like the whisper. I think my kids realize I've gone off the actual deep end.
That's exactly how it is with my kids. Yeah, I start whispering.
Yes.
But it's not like a precious whisper. Not at all.
I know.
It's like a hissing
whisper.
And they know.
Yes. Like, it's not like your voice is so strange you can't even yell.
Exactly.
So it's like a whisper cranks out of you.
They get nervous. They know that something's hit the fan.
Yes.
For sure.
Okay, so on that note, we're not precious. That's how we're going to end.
We're not precious.
Cheers to the not precious. Shout out to the not precious. Okay. Yeah. Did you enjoy your very first? Is this your first time to be on a podcast?
It's my first time. It could be my last. Oh, true. Last night. It could be my last.
I don't think so. I don't know. We're going to have you back to talk about some of the deep, heavier stuff at a different point in time.
Yeah. I might need a drink.
Maybe you should start drinking alcohol with.
Yeah. Okay. Need a stiff one.
Okay. Well, we're going to say bye because this is long. So thanks for listening. And bye.
Until next time.
Color
code.
Bye.